Turn in your Bibles. Okay, you got that? John chapter 3, verse 16. We'll start there. Keep your Bibles open. We've got a few places to look today. John chapter 3, verse 16. John chapter 3, verse 16. You say, why did we need to turn there? We all know the verse. Well, this is a good starting place. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to You this morning ready for You to speak. And truly, Father, we are humbled before You, looking for You to say just what You want to say, just the way You want to say it, addressing our hearts Your way. Lord, I pray that our folks that are gathered here today won't have any trouble understanding, or more importantly, following. I pray, Lord God, that I won't have any problem understanding where it is that You want to go and how You want to do these things this day, with not only this day, but also with our church. Father, we stand before You in fear, knowing of Your greatness and Your grandeur, and we thank You for Your goodness, because You have been truly so good to us. Now, Father, we ask You please to bless. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. When you look at this verse here, there are a number of things that come to mind, I'm sure. You say, for God so loved the world. And so you think about that, the love of God for the world, that He gave His only begotten Son. You think about the fact that He is the only begotten Son of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are saved, we are His sons, but we were not begotten like Jesus came through Mary. You see that, and whosoever believeth in Him, how simple it is to be saved by believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, should not perish, so that we're not in fear of condemnation, but have everlasting life. There are a lot of parts of this verse that really catch our attention, but today, the part of this verse that catches my attention, and the part of this verse that provides the foundation for our preaching today is this verse, this word that He gave. You know, the very nature of God is that He is giving. That's His nature. When you see what provision He made for us in the Lord Jesus Christ, it's unbelievable to think that God would allow His Son to be put through the agony that He went through for us. I know me. And I know what the Lord Jesus Christ had to endure for me. And I'm conscious that for Him to accept my sins and be accused for my sins is an unbelievable gift. And when you have the opportunity to witness to folks and tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ, to see the countenance change when they realize how great the gift of Jesus Christ really is, it is one of the most beautiful parts of witnessing to the lost. You know, we talk about you're going to get the door slammed and all that other kind of, you know, that's all reality. But the truth of the matter is, when somebody sees and the Holy Spirit reveals the substitutionary death, the gift of Jesus Christ, and they get it, and that countenance changes, I'm telling you, that picture is worth it all. You know at that moment that they're going to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. Because they get it. They understand the gift. You know, if you talk to people out there that are lost today and you say, do you understand what God did for you? Yeah, He gave us His Son that we might be saved. And they're not saved still. You can't. They're not getting it. They don't understand how great the giving of God is. Listen, He gives you the air to breathe. He gives you the roof over your head. He gives you the job that you have. He gives you the money that you have in your bank. He gives you the health, whatever level it is that you enjoy. He's given you all the years that you've lived to this time. He's given you the sanity that some of you have. He's given you your children. Children, He's given you your parents. You know, that Bible says that children are a heritage of the Lord. He's given you your wife. That's a gift from God. Houses, that comes from fathers. That's an inheritance, but a prudent wife is from the Lord. And you just go on and on. He's given you, you know, everything. He's given you the moon. the stars, the sun. God's, the nature of God is that He is giving. Is that not right? It identifies our God. You know, all the other gods that are worshipped in religions, they're gods that have to be appeased with strange things like sacrifices in order to appease them, just so that they won't hurt you. It's not really how much they're going to help you, it's just they won't hurt you. We're visiting with people now who need to be saved, and the God they worship, that they call the same God of the Bible, but the one they learned from their religion, is one they're scared to upset. They're so superstitious. They're scared to even try out what the Bible says about salvation, because they're thinking, that'll make my God that I have learned. Listen, your God's not like that. He's long-suffering and merciful and so forth. Yes, he has the side of wrath, but He is giving. That's what defines Him. You know what defines His people? The same attitude. If somebody says, I'm a Christian, but they're selfish, and they're all about me, and they're not concerned about others, there's something wrong in their relationship with the God of that Bible. His very nature is, I take care of you, you take care of others. He says, sure, your hat goes, people say, how much should I forgive somebody else? Very simple. He says, be ye kind, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. In other words, He sets the pattern, and then everything flows from the pattern that He sets. If somebody crosses me or somebody crosses you, it's very easy, should be, for you to forgive them, because God's already forgiven you. And the truth of the matter is, if you really check the score, nobody has ever done anything to you that's worse than what you've done to God. And if He could forgive you for that, you can certainly forgive somebody else for what they've done. See, that pattern is established by the Lord. It all flows from Him. So we say, yes, I'm the Lord's child, but I've got bitterness and lack of forgiveness against other people. To what extent? My life is not a testimony of what I say I believe. And God gave His only Son. If I'm a selfish, hoarding type of a person, and I never want to do anything nice for other people, then what you don't see is the evidence of the God that I say I love borne out in the testimony of my own life. It brings into question, not whether you're saved if you trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, but what that relationship is doing for you. You see, when we get saved, we're like children. We say, Lord, give me this and give me that. And if you're a teenager, Lord, give me this and give me that. And Mama, give me this and give me that. Right? And as you get older, if that attitude doesn't change, something is wrong. They say, that's a spoiled little child. Or that's a child in a big man's body. Why? Because as we get older, our hearts turn towards somebody else. Part of that maturity process is just a matter of growth, growing in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, well, where are you going with this, preacher? I'm going to a subject that, I'll be honest with you, I have been reluctant to preach, but a subject that nonetheless needs to be preached. You say, for what reason? For your benefit. It helps you in your relationship with the Lord to grow and be more like Christ. The Holy Spirit in us is trying to accomplish something through us that can't be done if we don't understand what God is trying to do in us. He started our relationship by giving us something. He has continued our relationship by giving us something. And what He's trying to do in your life is teach you to be like Him. That's what He's trying to do. Now, people say, well, the preacher's going to get up there and he's going to teach us today about giving. You're right. Wonderful. You say, I don't want to hear about that. Tough. No, really and truly. Paul, when he talked to the Thessalonians, he said, I was gentle among you as a nurse cherisheth her children. And I was like a father to you and charged you on certain things. Don't worry about me trying to preach you with emotional stories today. Don't worry about me trying to reach in your back pocket by sleight of hand while I'm showing you something over here, fake you out. I'll be very bold with you and very honest with you. I want to show you some things out of the Scripture, just like you and I were sitting in my living room, and I were showing you something, if you were my child, that would help you as you grow up. And this is to help you as you grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, well, yeah, but I think you have selfish motives in your life. Let me tell you something so you understand. Many, many years ago, my wife and I learned the benefit of what I'm going to show you today from the Scripture. And I'm not going to get into specifics with you, but let me just say that, you know, the Bible says, don't let what the right hand know what the left hand does. Our giving is almost, well, it is certainly individually the biggest part of anything we do. Okay? I remember hearing a preacher one time talk to his congregation. He's going on about what he was doing. I don't want to get into that with you because I don't want to offend you. But let me just say, there's not a selfish motive at all in what I'm getting ready to show you now. Don't you worry about that. The Lord's taking really good care of us, and we've learned something that is a great joy to us and a great privilege to us. And it goes all through the Bible. It starts with God. Listen, the closer you get in your relationship to the Lord, the more you are wanting to give of yourself to the Lord and to the Lord's people. That's just, it is a natural outflow. And you know, I'll say this also before we venture into a few other scriptures. Whenever I have come to church and somebody wants to really preach hard on missions, I love missions. And frankly, I have heard a lot of messages on missions, and I've never heard anybody preach too hard on missions. You know why? I love missions. And you know something? When somebody has come in and they've preached on giving, I've never heard anybody preach too hard on giving, and I've never heard anybody say anything that really offended me about giving, even if I didn't agree with what he was saying. You know why? Because I love to give. But boy, when people have come in there and talked about being a better husband, boy, you can get on my bad side quick with that one. You know, we always get stoked up and stiff in an area where somebody is trampling and we think we're weak. In other words, today there are people in this congregation that love to give of their resources, have been giving of their resources and time for a long time, and I guarantee you there's not anything I'm going to be able to say today that's going to upset them and say, boy, I wish we had gone out of town this Thanksgiving like some of the rest of the congregation did. Why? Because they love to give. But if you're here today and you are nervous right now, knowing what the subject is, about this lesson, about preaching on giving, you know what that's an indication? It's an indication that you really need this. Yeah. You know, another example, how many of you have neglected a physical exam with your doctor for probably longer than you should have? All right. You know what? If you are so nervous right now about going and having an annual physical, and you know why? Because you're afraid he might find something bad. But once you get in the habit of doing your annual physicals, you're not nearly as nervous about that because you already know you got a baseline. Things are working pretty good. If it comes, it'll come as a surprise, but it's not coming as a great fear. Isn't that right? So that's just human nature. So if I'm getting ready to speak on a subject that's making you very nervous and irritable and agitated and you feel like I'm annoying you right now, sit still. I am aware of that. Just like you have come to see your doctor and you're not sure what he's going to tell you because it's been so long since you've seen him. Relax. Relax. Chill out. I'm not like the dentist that has the laughing gas. You know, kind of make this pleasurable experience out of something that's bad. I have no way to make this pleasurable except to tell you this. that I guarantee you what I'm going to show you today is something God wants you to know. And I also guarantee you that if you learn this, you will look back on this day and say, you know what, preacher, thank you very much. I didn't know that, and I really, really appreciate it. God has blessed my life as a result of that. You're going to be safe today. You're not going to hear one illustration that tells you if you put 10% in, you're going to get 100% back. I am not a prosperity preacher. You don't have to worry about me coming to you today and twisting your arm, hoping that somehow or another I'm going to get $500,000 out of you so we can pay for that building. No amens? I would love that if that were to happen, but listen, don't worry about that. Why? God's the one that takes care of that stuff. Amen. And I'm more convinced of it now than I ever have been before. He'll use you to do it, okay? He'll use you to do it, and you'll know it's Him. But listen, don't put up an automatic resistance to this subject just because it's one that scares you and just because it's one that's been abused by so many people before. Before preaching this, the Lord has shown me something that has been really helpful. I watched the books of the bank. I'm talking about the bank accounts of the church closely because that responsibility still falls on me. We don't have a treasurer. And I want to make sure that bills that are accumulated can be paid. And I was watching things, and I tell you, I got nervous. I'll admit that to you. I got nervous a couple months ago. I'm sitting there going, how do you do this? You know what I did? I didn't call a meeting of the church. I didn't call a meeting of a bunch of directors. I didn't call people that had money and say, boys, we gotta look at this. You know what I did? I started praying. I said, Lord, you take care of these things. And I'm going to trust you to take care of these things. And just kept right on doing what we're doing. And boom, something here, something there, something over here, something you didn't expect. Lord, just taking care of all that stuff. Everything that's needed to take care of the obligations we have on that portion of the contract in the bank, ready to be paid. So don't you worry that your preacher's up here trying to use this pulpit to bully you. That's not what we're about. We are about learning a principle that starts with God. God gave the most precious thing He had, His only begotten Son, and He didn't intend for the giving to stop with that event. He wants you to continue the same process that He began when He gave us Jesus Christ. I think the first thing that would help you to know is this. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 8 and look at verse 18. Deuteronomy chapter 8, and look at verse 18. Very simple verse. This is directed to Israel, but it is true of us as well. Deuteronomy chapter 18. Now, we're going to take a little context here, okay? Look at verse 10. We want to go all the way down to verse 18, but look at verse 10. The Lord is instructing Israel. They're getting ready to go into the land of Canaan. When thou hast eaten and are full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which He hath, what's the next word? Given thee. They didn't work for the promised land. God gave that to them. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping His commandments, His judgments, His statutes, which I command thee this day, lest when thou hast eaten and art full, and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold, Deuteronomy 8:13, is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who led thee through that great and terrible wilderness, wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions and drought, where there was no water, who brought thee forth with water out of the rock of flint, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, and He might humble thee, that He might prove thee to do thee good at thy latter end. And thou shalt say in thine heart, my power and the might of mine hand hath gotten me this wealth. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, watch it, for it is He that giveth thee power to get wealth, that He may establish His covenant, which He sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day. Where do you get your wealth from? from the Lord. I'll tell you what, though, if you go out and you work hard and you earn some money, or you go out and get an education, you get a real nice job, or you go out and you put forth an effort, there's going to come a day in your life, if it hasn't already come, that you said, look what I have accomplished. Do you know anybody in the Bible that ever said, look what I have accomplished? I do. His name was Nebuchadnezzar. Daniel was taken into captivity. And he looked around his kingdom after a warning from God. And he said, look at all this great stuff I've got here. Look at this great kingdom that I have built by the power of my might. You know what the Lord did? The Lord hit him with a disease called lycanthropy. You say, what is that? It means he turned into an animal, in essence. His nails grew out like eagle's claws. His hair all grew out like that. And he walked around. He couldn't lift his head up. And he ate grass out in the backyard. And he did that for 7 years. Where was all that greatness and all that power and all that majesty of his kingdom during those days? He got through that experience and came back in there to sit down in his kingdom. He said, I'm going to tell you something. It's God. It's God. That's where these kingdoms come from. Hezekiah was all proud of his wealth after he got over his disease. The Babylonians came in there and saw all of that majesty as his kingdom. Isaiah came in here to see him and said, who was here? He said, the Babylonians. What did they see? He said, all my treasure, all mine. He said, that's too bad, because they're going to come here. They're going to take it all away after you're dead. He said, well, that's good. At least they won't do it in my lifetime. I'm going to tell you, our society today is compelling you to become very selfish with your money. It is. To be covetous, to be spending it on your desires, to be saving it on your aspirations and things like that. You're going to forget something if you're not careful. It is the Lord that giveth thee power to get wealth. Period. End of story. Old Testament, New Testament, it's all the same. It's all the same. So if it's the Lord that giveth thee power to get wealth, then you know something. You always have the opportunity to look to Him for direction in that accumulation of that wealth, and to look to Him in the distribution of that wealth, how you spend it. I know when the Lord Jesus Christ was here, He had to give His disciples a parable, and He said, the abundance of a man's life consisteth not in the things that he possesseth. The world's aspiration is accumulate more, get bigger, get grander. One home, buy two. Two homes, get a third. And pile it on, and pile it on, and pile it on, and so you have this mass of really entanglement when it's all said and done. The Lord says, I gave you that. That came from me. Well, if the Lord is the one that gives thee the power to get wealth, and it was the Lord Jesus Christ said, the abundance of a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things that he possesseth, did Jesus Christ ever demonstrate to us that he lived by the same principle he was teaching? He did, because 2 Corinthians chapter 8 says that he gave up all of his riches and made himself poor, that you through his poverty might be made rich. Now, the prosperity preachers will say he did that so you could get a whole bunch of money down here. I am a rich man if I die penniless. Boy, I'm losing them now. Look at them. There they go. If you're going to go, this is a good time, boy, because the doors have swung on both sides. They're not even going to move. Their feet are planted in concrete now. I wouldn't dare. No, he did. He did demonstrate that. He gave up all of his riches and glory and was born in a manger and did not own a house and did not own his own transportation. Died with 5 pieces of clothing, and they were stolen from him the day that he died on the cross. He was penniless. Yeah, he already demonstrated for us the very thing that he was teaching us to do. So if it's the Lord that giveth thee power to get wealth, then is it not the Lord that can direct you on what to do with that wealth? Absolutely. Now, a lot of preachers preach on tithing, and I believe in tithing. I was tithing when I was backslidden. But now, back then, I was tithing when I was backslidden because I wanted to keep God off my back. I'm serious. I was in the Methodist church, I wasn't living for God. I knew I wasn't living for God, and I figured if I slipped some money in the plate, he'd leave me alone. I was wrong, and I'm glad that I was wrong. I'm glad he chased me down. He's getting more out of me now than he did back then. It's a good thing. But tithing is a principle that people say, well, there's some confusion as to whether or not you should do it because it was taught in the Old Testament. It was part of the Jewish law. It's not taught in the New Testament. May I tell you something? It's something you need to be doing in the New Testament. Because it started with Abraham, who is the father of the faith. That's something that started back then. I've had people call me and say, now, preacher, I make this much, I pay this much in taxes, my house expenses are this, I have this much left. I'm supposed to be 10% on that, right? Get the calculator out and figure it out down to the penny and all those kind of things. May I tell you something? God's bigger than all that. He really is. In our lives, we pick the highest number we can find and make sure that it's sizably more than that, so there's no question in God's mind or ours what that is. I believe in that. I really do. He didn't school them on that in the book of Acts because they were selling everything they owned and giving it to the apostles for distribution to be made to the needy saints. Wasn't a big deal. And as I've told you before, that's a principle. That's a beginning place. That's what he started out with. And I believe all that. You say, but I don't know how in the world I'm going to be able to take care of my obligations if I start taking money that like that and start giving that to the Lord. Let me ask you one question. Watch this here. Don't raise your hands. I don't want to know. How many of you have tithing? Don't raise your hands. Like I said, I don't want to see just one or two. No. You know who you are. Okay, you're tithing. Now, you can raise your hand on this one. Of those of you who are tithing, who of you cannot pay your bills because you're tithing? Well, I would raise my hand, preacher, but I don't want to be the only one. I mean, I really believe that the no show of hands is not intimidation. I think God knows how to take care of his business. Don't you worry about that. This is just a group of 100 and whatever we are here, 60, 70 people here today, whatever it is, 100 something. Preachers can't count. You say, I'm scared to do it. I'm scared not to. I know where it comes from. It's the Lord that giveth thee power to get wealth. And what we do when we tithe, we simply say, I know where this is coming from. This is yours, Lord, not mine. This is yours, not mine. Say, well, what if I wanted to be able to do more than that? I think you can. You say, well, how is that going to work out? Turn to Luke chapter 6, and I'll show you how it works out. Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6. Just notice the context here. Verse 35. Luke 6:35. Notice the context here. Love ye your enemies. Is that tough? Yeah, but by the grace of God, you can get that done. Love ye your enemies. And do good, that's tough sometimes. And lend, hoping for nothing again. That is, you got it, if you can pay it back, fine. If you don't pay it back, fine. Because I'm not expecting you to pay it back. And your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the highest. For he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. Judge not, and you shall not be judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and ye shall be forgiven. Watch it, verse 38. This is the one we were looking for. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. So where's it going to come from? Look what he says there in verse 38 again. Give and what? Give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give into your bosom, employers, friends, IRS. For with the same measure that you meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. There's a principle here. And the principle of this is that God measures it out the same way you measure it to Him. And He's going to be fair with you. All right, let's say that I have a small amount of resources and a small amount of faith that I can do something with those resources. And I say, Lord, I'm going to give you a thimbleful of my resources because I need all this to pay my bills. Then God's going to use that thimble as the measure. And because that's the good measure. That's the measure you chose. And He's going to put it in there and press it down. Make sure that it's full capacity. And then after pressing it down, He's going to shake it together. If you ever put something in a thing and knocked it like that to get it a little bit tighter, then you just press it down. And then He is going to shake it together, and then He's going to put a little extra on top until it runs over the sides. And that's what men are going to give into your bosom. Yeah, He was fair with you, because He used the measure you measured, and He did it. He just packed it to its capacity and made sure a little extra spilled over the side. He says, good, that's the way I'm going to take care of you, because that's the way you've been taking care of me. You set the measure. Yes, what He says here. He says it just that way. For with the same measure that ye meet, with all it shall be measured to you again. Now let's say you take a look at your resources and you say, whoo, I want to be better with God than that. And you get you a 5-gallon bucket. And you just do your giving based on that measure. God takes the same bucket, fills it up. That's a good measure. Presses it down. Shakes it together, puts some more on top until it's run over. The running over the side will be more than the thimble. And He says, that's the measure I'll meet, and with all shall men give into your bosom. Is that true, or did He just lie? It is true, isn't it? I know that verse to be true because God doesn't lie. I know that verse to be true because I've tried it. And I found it to be true. I know it experientially, and I know it providentially. You understand? Now you say, but there's nobody in the Bible that actually follows that principle of giving unless they got a whole lot of money. I've learned something. As a general rule, not a specific rule, because there are exceptions to this rule. But I've learned something as a general rule, the more people have, the tighter they become. Because a little bit to them is still a whole lot to somebody else, and they're satisfied that the little bit they do is enough. I've noticed that. Remember, some of you might remember, there was a fellow that was making $20 a week, and his pastor was preaching just like I am today, and he came to his pastor, he said, that means I have to give $2 a week as my tithe. He said, you can trust God for that, and he did. And in time, that guy started making $200 a week and giving $20. And then he was making $2,000 a week. You say, people don't make that kind of money. Yeah, they do in this country all the time. He went back to his pastor. He said, pastor, he said, I'm having trouble. He said, what's the matter? He said, man, he said, you just don't know how hard it is for me to pull out that pen and write $200. He said, when it was just $2, it was really simple for me looking back to write that check. But $200 is a lot of money, preacher. There are a lot of things I could do with $200. He said, I was wondering if you could pray for me and maybe somehow or another we could lower this a little bit. He said, you know what? He said, I will pray for you and we will lower it a little bit. He said, good. Bowed his head like that and the preacher said, dear Lord, you remember how easy it was for him to give $2 when he was making $20? I pray you'll bust it back to $20 a week so he won't have trouble tithing. The guy, no! No, I'll write the $200. No problem. No problem. But that's, you know what? That's a little silly story, but it's true. It's true of human nature. You, how many people have died with the $100,000 in the mattress and eating peanut butter and jelly sandwiches? No, that's true. But I read in my Bible that Jesus was watching the money go into the treasury one time, and a widow came by, and the Lord said, you know what? She gave the greatest gift. She only put two mites. What's that equal to? I don't know. A dollar, nickel, 50 cents, something, not much. But she gave all her living. You know what measure she said? Lord, you gave me everything you had when you gave me Jesus Christ. I'll give you everything I have, even though it's not much. He said, that woman understands. She knows what I'm looking for. She's got it figured out. Because it's the Lord that giveth thee power to get well. Somebody said you can't outgive God. I believe that. But I believe you can outspend Him. I believe you can spend more on things that He doesn't want you to have. But I don't think you can ever give Him more than He's willing to take care of you for. I really don't. So, preacher, I want to be blessed. Turn to Acts chapter 20. I want you to be blessed. I truly do. I love you. I want you to enjoy all the benefits of what Jesus Christ has for you in this life. Acts chapter 20, verse 35. Paul established a pattern beginning in verse 33. He dealt with the Ephesians right before he left to go to Jerusalem and then to be imprisoned. In verse 33, Acts chapter 20, he said, I've coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. Yea, you yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities and to them that were with me. I have showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. I believe that. It is more blessed to give than to receive. In this church, we've established something. Church is becoming a little too corporate. Have you noticed that? You know, we have set time we're supposed to meet on a Sunday school to go to church at this hour and do certain things at this time and so forth. And, you know, we've got a telephone and a fax machine. And it's just a little more corporate than it was back in those days here. But some of the principles haven't changed. And Paul said, I want you to understand, I didn't covet anything you have. Let me just give you this one perspective so you understand that my heart is the same in that regard as Paul's. In this church, we've set up a pattern so that if ever I'm not here, the church is used to taking care of the pastor because the Bible says that he that preaches of the gospel lives of the gospel. But we've always made it a practice so that this church never was burdened with what you were paying me. We've always given more than our salary. And we're in a position to be able to do that. And the reason was very simple. Between us and the Lord, we like being able to do all that we can. Between us and the Lord, we always wanted to make sure that no one ever suspected we were taking advantage of people in this church. Not going to do that. In the process, we learn there's a blessing. The Lord says it is more blessed to give than it is to receive. And you know what? That verse is true. Say, I sure would like to have a great blessing in my Christianity. Give more. Give more. Say, where? Now we're starting. No. As the Lord directs you. Say, will He direct us in these matters? Brother Lowen, does He direct in these matters? He really does, doesn't He? I didn't pay him for that. If you nod your head, I'll give you $100 more love offering. No, we didn't pay for that. He's a missionary. This guy is supposed to be a receiver. That's what he's doing. He's on deputation to get some money. I didn't ask him this question. I don't know the answer to it, so I don't think I'll put him on the spot now. No, I bet you I can tell you, the Lord deals with them about giving in missions themselves. He said, but he's there to try to get money to go off to a field. But you know what? He's living on a principle. I'm giving, and the Lord's taking care of us. That's true, isn't it? Yes, it really is. There's another $100. He says, keep asking me questions, preacher. This is going good. It's a principle. If you want blessings. People say, I'm just not happy in my Christian walk. You want to get a blessing? Step up your giving. Because he said, it is more blessed to give than it is to receive. You know what this season is right now from Black Friday on till commercialized Christmas? It is more blessed to receive than it is to give. And I don't believe that. I think our country goes miserable around this time of year. You say, I am not certain that the Lord really loves me. I have had a pretty rough life. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. I'm just not sure. When people sometimes they come forward and they say, I'm not sure of my salvation. Sometimes it's just they're not sure that they are really accepted and loved by the Lord as much as they would like to be. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Look at verse 6 and 7. This I say, 2 Corinthians 9, 6 and 7. This I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. It's kind of the thimble and bucket deal. He which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man, according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give. Not grudgingly. That's why I said we're not beating anybody over the head here with this today. We're trying to help you. Not grudgingly or of necessity. For God loveth a cheerful giver. You want to be sure of God's love for you? Be a cheerful giver. And you'll never have a doubt. Not about that. You see, because when we started this message this morning, it started with something, didn't it? It started with God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And it comes around to this and says, God loveth a cheerful giver. Why? Because that's the person who is allowing the Holy Spirit through him to be able to be used by God to further the work of his kingdom and take care of the necessities of people who don't have their needs met through people who have learned that love compels giving and giving affirms love. It just works that way. It's so simple. And people get resistant on that because they say, but you don't understand, man. The Lord has to take care of us in retirement. We got to be saving up all these things. Listen, there is prudence in every decision that you make. But when that kind of prudence allows you to become so selfish that you can't give cheerfully, then that's not good prudence. That's selfishness. Years ago, some of you know, Dave Reese was traveling up the country and he was trying to raise money for a Bible institute they were going to build in the Philippines. And you can build more cheaply there. He's going to have to raise $25,000. And he went into it was a little bitty church. He was tired. You've been tired on deputation? He was worn out. It was a little bitty church way out on the back hills of nowhere. He had a 5-hour drive to get there and then had to drive away from there to go get the hotel he was going to stay in. And he was just going to pick up the preacher and say, I'm not coming. Yeah. 8 or 10 people there. I'm worn out. I need to rest. But, he's a faithful man. He said he's going to make the meeting, so he went. And he got there and he presented the work and, to the little few people that were gathered, and they all seemed to be very happy that he was there. And afterwards, they all broke up for a little fellowship. And pretty soon, this fellow came up to him and he says, Brother Reese, he said, I was just talking with my pastor. And I wanted to check with him first before I came to you. And he said, be all right to visit with you. And he said, what's up? He said, well, my wife and I've changed careers. I'm a truck driver now. And truck drivers, we don't have pension plans and all that stuff. We have to set up our own retirement. I'm already in my 50s. And we've put away $25,000 for our retirement. But listening to what you were talking about there, my wife and I realized we could get a whole lot more out of that $25,000 invested in a Bible institute now than we could in a bank waiting for our retirement. Would you accept a gift? $25,000 on the back hills of nowhere? You know what that fellow understood? He understood this, that it's more blessed to give than it is to receive, that it is God that loveth the cheerful giver. That's been years and years ago now. That guy, if he's still alive, would be up in his 60s and getting close to retirement time, probably maybe getting closer to 70. I wonder if the Lord's left him out on a limb where he can't feed himself and his family now. I don't think so. I don't think so at all, because he understood something. He understood this principle that God loved and he gave, and we love and we give. Let's pray. Father, I ask you please, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, to take this very simple little message and apply it in our hearts. Father, you've taught us. I pray that we'll be able to even do more than we do now, because I love to give and I love what you've given me. When you gave me your son, I was so unworthy to think that there's a mansion in heaven waiting for me as a result of what he's done is unimaginable. But I believe it. I thank you, Father, that today I can stand here and teach this lesson and know that every word that's spoken is true from the Word of God, but also know in my own heart that you have been true to every verse we've looked at in our lives. I thank you for my wife, Father, who stepped out there with me and agreed this is good and didn't fuss. There are many, many things, Father, that she could have today that she doesn't have. Many nice things that she has now, but many other things. But chose rather to see the work furthered. I thank you for a wife who didn't complain about that. Father, I thank you for these folks. I thank you that you've taught this lesson to many that are gathered here. They already understand it and appreciate and can testify that truly God loves a cheerful giver, and truly it is more blessed to give than it is to receive, and that truly the wealth we have came from you. Now, Father, while our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, I pray those, Father, of us today that are gathered here that needed this for encouragement will be encouraged by the words that are spoken. Lord, I pray that those of us that needed this for a reproof or a correction or a rebuke will take it in the right spirit and follow the words of God and learn to follow these things you've shown and be glad that they've done so. And Father, I pray that you will continue as you have since the day we started to meet the provisions and needs of this church. Give us wisdom in how you prefer us to distribute the things that you provide to us. Father, while we're building, we have missionaries that come. We don't want to stop being able to help them just because of that. Father, we pray that you will give us wisdom on managing our missions and managing a building being paid for with cash at the same time. Lord, I pray that you will impress upon our folks here, guide them in everything that you want them to do, and they could do it cheerfully. And I pray, Father, that they sense no grudge or no necessity that's pressing them, but a chance to cheerfully be able to do a lot of what happened in Acts chapter 2 and Acts chapter 4, where the apostles and started the church, were able to distribute much of what was given to them through the sale of possessions and things that people had, because they realized, you know what, we don't need those things, but we surely need God. Now, Father, I pray that you will strengthen us and help us and bless this church. And, Lord, if there are people here today, Father, that haven't learned the benefits, afraid to tithe and afraid to give and tight, Lord, I pray today that they will be able to trust you and loosen that up a little bit and say, you know what, I am going to step out by faith and watch God do something. And I pray you'll prove yourself faithful to the words they've heard today. We ask you to do all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.